The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour number five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Another hour of sports for you. Fan After Dark's getting locked and loaded. Fred and Blake are up here already throwing heat in the bullpen. They have an incredible show planned here coming up. The Fan After Dark, 7 to 11. We probably got Cowboys crosstalk, though, don't we? 7 to 8 here on a Wednesday night on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Coming up at 6:20, we're going to talk more hoop. Chiefs got a rim session packed in for you. It's time now to chat with reporter Leah Asimakopoulos, covers the Dallas Stars and the SMU Mustangs over there at the Morning News. And a good evening to you, Leah. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, thanks for joining us again. We're obviously very excited to hear about our hockey team and the college football team that's just a half mile up the road.
Yeah.
What's your take here on the Mustangs and what would happen in the event of a loss on Saturday?
Yeah, I think they're hoping that they don't have to get there and worry about that, because the college football playoff rankings yesterday and what happened in Miami definitely wasn't encouraging. I think obviously it's been a great year at SMU and everybody knows that. I think even the college football playoff committee knows that. But when you look at their schedule, their strength of schedule is an issue. They haven't beaten any teams that are, I think BYU's, they lost BYU, so they haven't beaten any currently ranked teams right now. So that is kind of an issue, and strength of schedule matters so much to the playoff committee. So, you know, obviously a win they're in, that takes care of things. But if they lose to this one ranked opportunity that they have against Clemson right now, I think that that will make it interesting. I believe they've done enough to still secure their spot in the playoff, but, you know, it's up against Alabama, and we know how much the committee loves them. So it's probably going to be close, and they're going to have to play well regardless on Saturday.
2.5-point favorite. Do you like them to win? Are you picking them to win?
I am picking them to win. I mean, it's tough, and I could see it go either way, because, I do think that a lot of the teams they've played this year have been much easier than Clemson. Obviously, Clemson is a historic program, a blue blood for a reason, but they're not the same team that they've been in previous years. So I think that SMU, you know, is right to be favored. I think SMU's defense has obviously been so strong this year and can carry them through, but, you know, Clemson's great in terms of turnover margin. That's kind of hurt SMU in some games this year, in their Duke game, which was a really close one they almost lost. So it's going to come down to little things like that, but yeah, I'm still going to pick them.
Leah, do you think the fact that here at SMU now in the ACC and this game is being played in Charlotte, is this the big disadvantage for SMU? I mean, SMU can compete with Clemson, no doubt, but could there be really could this be like a home game for Clemson?
Yeah, we actually asked about that this week, because it probably will be majority Clemson fans, just based on what their fan base looks like, based on the size of their school, and, of course, being so close to where their home is. But it's kind of interesting, because SMU's been in that situation a lot recently. Yeah. They played the AAC championship away at Tulane last year, which was a road environment. They played the Fenway Bowl against Boston College in Boston. So, and they've been one of the best road teams in the country. They've won 10 straight road games, which is an FBS record. So I think, you know, they're equipped to handle it. But it's a little unfortunate that this neutral site game is not quite a neutral site, but I guess that's conference realignment for you.
how did SMU fare on National Signing Day today? And we were kicking that around, Leo, like with the transfer portal and everything, is Signing Day as big as it once was?
I think yes and no. It's weird that Signing Day was so early this year. Obviously, there's a lot of other things on their mind, but it was the best class SMU's ever brought in, and kind of obvious why, and the success they've had this year. You know, Rhett Lashley is a coach that a lot of players want to play for right now, especially locally in DFW. They've brought in a lot of local Texas recruits, DFW recruits. They've really, you know, excelled in that area. But yeah, the transfer portal was probably the thing that helped them the most going into the season, especially adding so many key transfers on the offensive and defensive lines. So I think sometimes now maybe that becomes a little more important, at least in the immediate future. But of course, SMU has a lot of homegrown guys, quarterback Kevin Jennings included, that are going to help them in years down the line. So Signing Day still, of course, carries a lot of weight, and they had a good day overall.
Yeah, what is the college football world getting when they see Kevin Jennings being unveiled for many people, probably for one of the first times?
I mean, he's one of the most dynamic quarterbacks that I've seen play at the high school and in college level. Every week we watch him, it's like it looks like he's going to get sacked three different times, then he throws some perfectly placed touchdown pass to one of eight different receivers that somehow manages to spread the ball around so well, and he can run. So, you know, he's improved a lot. I think that's a part of SMU's kind of story this season that is overlooked a little bit. You know, their first three games where they struggled, their one loss to BYU, he wasn't the starter. He's undefeated as the starter this year. So since he's been in charge, it's been, you know, pretty perfect for them. And I think it's going to be, you know, a good opportunity for him to show what he can do against a team like Clemson.
I did want to ask about our Dallas Stars, and we got the sad news about Tyler Seguin today, which was devastating. I mean, he's been on the best line in the NHL with Marchman and Duchesne. And for those that didn't up to date on what happened with Tyler Seguin, if you could let us know your thoughts on that situation. And then where can the Stars go from here? Could this maybe be a benefit financially, and they can do something like we've seen the Tampa Bay Lightning do with the salary cap?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. So Tyler Seguin is having hip surgery. There was a little bit of a lingering issue. They thought it was going to be something they could take care of in the off season, but it just got worse. And he was placed on IR on Sunday. And then, you know, now he's out for 4 to 6 months with the surgery. So he may return at the very end of the regular season, maybe the playoffs, maybe not at all this year. And yeah, as you said, it is pretty devastating. I think, you know, of course, it's not a good thing for the Stars. As you mentioned, he's been playing on the best line in hockey right now, and they've been so good, and they've really been the only line that's been consistent for the Stars. So you take out a key piece of that, and he's averaging over a point per game so far this year. It's going to be, you know, tough to see where they go from there, who replaces him on that line, and if Mason Marchman and Matt Duchesne can kind of keep that production up without him. But yes, I think, you know, that frees up over $9 million in cap space once they eventually put him on long-term injured reserve. So yes, they can make some moves to bring in someone, and, you know, maybe that's a forward, maybe that's addressing some of the defensive issues they have. You know, they do have a lot of young talent still in terms of guys in the AHL that they've been bringing up and down throughout the season. So we'll see, but it's kind of been the story of the season. They just need more people to start stepping up who haven't quite yet. And, you know, Pete DeBoer said today, someone's misfortune is another person's opportunity. Mm-hmm. So it feels like the time for someone to take advantage of that.
It's Leah Asimakopoulos here, Morning News, talking Dallas Stars. How is the trade market shaping up at this point in the season? Are there big names we can hope for, or is it role player type of guys? What do you think?
I mean, I really haven't looked into it too much. It's so early in the season. We don't see a lot of trades this time of year. So I'm not even sure who's really on the market right now. But, you know, there's always an opportunity, especially when you have over $9 million in salary cap space available. So, yeah, I think Jim Nill has been great for the Stars. He's really found the right pieces for them a lot, especially in these recent years here. So they're going to try to take advantage of that opportunity and, you know, hopefully can find someone to score some points, because that's really what they need right now.
What can you tell us about this Four Nations face-off? I saw the rosters were announced. Otter's going to be one of the goalies representing Team USA. But when is this going down, and is this are the NHL players into this?
Yeah, so it's basically in place of the All-Star break this year. It's kind of a way the NHL is trying to prepare for the Olympics. So NHL players are going to get to play in the 2026 Olympics, which hasn't happened for a few Olympics now. So it's a best-on-best tournament between the U.S., Canada, Sweden, and Finland. So there's four stars that made teams. Otter and then the three Finns, Miro, Essa, and Rube all made Team Finland. So, certain players are really excited about it. I think, the Finns and are obviously, after going to Finland, were really excited about that opportunity and now kind of getting to compete with some of the other people from their country against some of their teammates. Pete DeBoer and his...
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Assistant Misha Donskov are also both involved in Team Canada. So it'll be kind of cool to see them play against each other. And Jake Ottinger talked a little bit about it this weekend, about how excited he was for the opportunity if he were given a chance and he made the team today. So this is kind of his introduction into the international hockey space, and he wants a spot on that Olympic roster. So this is a pretty good opportunity for him to show what he can do.
Hey, Leah, kind of piggybacking on what Zach asked you, I know the Winter Classic, and I was able to attend the one in the Cotton Bowl this year. I'm kind of curious, somebody that covers hockey like you do, is there a Winter Classic one that you would like to go to? It doesn't have to be the Stars, but is there a venue that you would love to see a Winter Classic game in?
That's a great question. I have to think about that. I mean, I've never been to a Winter Classic before.
They're
I would
a blast.
Love to go to one.
They're absolute blast. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't here in Dallas when it happened, so I would love for them to come back here at some point. But
yeah.
I'll have to think on that and let you know, because I think they're one of the coolest things they do in hockey. I love the outdoor game opportunity. It's just awesome. So it would be very cool for the Stars to get to be a part of that again. I hope in my time covering the team they will be.
I know the one with the Blackhawks and the Blues is at Wrigley Field. Would you rather do a Canadian one or a U.S. one? I'd like to go. I know Edmonton or one of those places, but it would just be brutally cold. But I used to work with the Green Bay Packers, so I think I would bundle up and be okay. But I'd love to see one of those kind of games.
Yeah, well, the Wrigley Field one would be very cool. I went to college in Chicago, so I would love to be able to be there for that. But after going and covering the playoff series in Edmonton, like the Canadian crowds, it's just the culture for hockey there, it's unmatched. So my goal is to spend a lot more time watching hockey in Canada, whether it's indoors or outdoors or wherever it is. So I don't think you can really beat that.
I know we're a little removed from the trip to Finland now, but what was that experience like?
Oh, it was incredible. The hockey wasn't great. They did not play so well. And I think that kind of left a sour taste in a lot of their mouths, like leaving everyone except for the Finns, because that was, a trip they're never going to forget. But really cool for me. I got to spend a lot of time with all three of the Finns and kind of go to their hometowns and experience some of their favorite places and foods and things like that. And, getting to see just the crowds and the Stars fans there. Like, there is a real fan base of fans in Finland, which is so random. Dallas, Texas to Finland, like, you'd never think that. But they really love their hockey like we love our football here. So it was very cool to be a part of. And, all three of those players, you could tell it really changed their careers. And it was just an opportunity they're never going to forget. So we're all really happy for them to get that.
Fantastic work, Leah. Thank you for joining us once again.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Leah Asimakopoulos, Morning News. Very busy covering the Stars and SMU, and very exciting times to be had. Yeah, it's going to be fun to see what Jim Nill's going to be able to pull off, as they try to get this thing done, and just devastating there for Tyler Seguin. Okay, more headlines are coming out from Dak's conference call with Yahoo yesterday. There's one, he was asked, who's the top contender in the NFC? And he picked the Lions, who just housed the Cowboys in week six. And I think everybody is along those lines right now, although I won't be surprised if they get got at some point. Like, the pass rusher that they lost, the fact that Jared Goff is their quarterback, I wouldn't be surprised if they lose. I don't think they're a formidable favorite, but definitely agree with that. But the other thing is they're showing video of this call now, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like reading facial expressions and wondering if somebody's telling the truth and trying to determine how comfortable they are?
I'm terrible at doing that, and I know there's people that really do believe in the body language and being able to read people and stuff like that. I'm not very good at doing that. I've sat across the table from people that I thought were lying to me.
Yeah.
You know?
You got a sixth sense.
I did it in recruiting.
Okay.
You know, I learned that in recruiting.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Is what I did.
Well, last night when you were talking about it, I hadn't seen the video. Maybe you had.
Yeah.
But after watching the video, I just don't think he's speaking with much conviction as he's talking about how much he likes Mike McCarthy. Like, the look on his face is one of uncomfortable, and I'm searching for words right now. You know? Yeah. You know, we'll see. I think it's the most interesting thing with the Cowboys right now, like who's going to be their next coach and you know, what number of wins would it take to make it a legitimate possibility. And there's a lot of work to be done between now and then. But you're getting Diggs back, Zach Martin back. Mm-hmm. I think this is you restart the season right now, guys. I think this is a 500 football team.
With Rush at quarterback?
I don't think they score enough points. That's my problem right now. I worry about Cooper Rush being able to, like, you know, we see what happens. These teams have trying to make him, like, long drive this thing, you know, and him having to take a team on a long drive, you know, something they're counting on some kind of mistake, a bad throw, a fumbled snap, you know,
these are against bad defenses too.
Yeah.
Like when you played a good defense in Philadelphia, you could do nothing. Even when they gave you the ball inside your own 5-yard line.
Yeah.
The Commanders defense is terrible. And it's a divisional game, and weird things kind of can happen in some of those games. And that wasn't your offense at all that was helping you.
It
was just the Giants.
Guy went 4-1 with no Tyron Smith, giving the ball to Zeke a bunch of times.
Oh no,
you know, I
Kellen Moore's your OC. I do think they're struggling with Mike as the primary play caller. I think they need to do more, and they're not.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
That's where offense is bad.
That's where, I mean, Eric talks about what they do in Green Bay, you know, Willis becomes the quarterback. Well, they S-can the real offense and bring in the college offense.
Run the football.
Yeah, they do things to try and manipulate and make it work. And I just don't think they help Cooper Rush enough with that kind of stuff.
No, they didn't. But we do have precedent set that the Cowboys could just give him an OC. You know, they just gave him Kellen Moore.
Yeah.
So, you know, why wouldn't the Cowboys think, well, we really like all the head coach stuff you're doing. We're going to find you a different OC, and they'll probably mess it up.
But, I wonder if Mike would allow. I mean,
he might just say, "Forget it." Then
could Mike just say, "Listen, if you're going to do that, you know, you've already got rid of my offensive line coach. You know, you've already got rid of, you know, they got rid of coaches, some of the coaches on his staff, and you know, and then okay, Mike Solario, okay, that's who you want me to coach. That's who you want my offensive line coach to be.
Yeah, they're plugging guys in for him."
That's what I'm saying, though.
This isn't a big pivot for Mike to be like, okay, he said when he took the job, my family needs football.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's willing to sacrifice. There's no guarantee somebody else is going to want you. Mm-hmm. If you're not ready to retire.
That whole structure, though, is the mess with this franchise.
Yeah.
The head coach should be able to set their staff and have their staff how they want.
Mike said today he has a lot of say in personnel. Did you see that today?
More so than in Green Bay.
More so than Green Bay.
We know that. Yeah. I mean, we've seen the influence that even coordinators can have when it comes to who they draft.
I know we've talked about that a bunch. I mean, if you want to start to talk about the way the roster's set up, Mike McCarthy's got a hand in this too. Mm-hmm. If you guys feel like that the roster building and team building is going not the perfect direction, Jerry Jones, big hand in that. Buck stops there. Mike McCarthy's part of the triangle. He's one of the corners of the triangle.
Yeah.
You know, so I kind of feel like, though, that, you know, he, if it doesn't end well for him, he's really got nobody to blame but himself.
Absolutely. He tried to make this team tough, and he failed for five years.
He tried to do the team building part of it, and then he just insisted that he had to be the primary play caller when things weren't going great. He was not willing to try and do something
could
different.
That be because it's his final year? I'm going to go out my way.
I absolutely could be.
Yeah.
But you'd also like to think about maybe that you want to try and save your gig.
Sure.
You know, if maybe somebody's got a little bit different idea about how we need to do this.
It's hard to tell. You know, he's obviously a pro and he's been around. He could be playing his hand very close to his vest. And he might be exhausted like Parcells was. Like, I'm tapping out.
Yeah. That's why I asked the question, does he even want to be here?
Okay. I know we want to get some more basketball talk. People are excited about this Mavericks run now. Chief, where are we heading?
Yeah, man, the Mavs got the goods, and we got some injury updates for some big stars next year in the nation.